One of the more important parts of my ministry, being in both these parishes, is being in conversation with people. And sometimes I make appointments with people and they want to come and talk. Sometimes it's just talking so they can hear themselves, and as a result, perhaps make a change in course as far as life is concerned. I understand that. I get it. Even though I'm a priest, I can recall at least two times when I had to take a real hard look at my life and seek conversion. So this is, and it's normal for me to meet 13, sometimes 17 people a week, just talking life and trying to find direction. Now there are some conversations where my main question to this person is, said, what do you think is the meaning and purpose of your life? In other words, are you moving in some direction or are you just letting life happen? Now I'll clarify this question further by asking, if today you are standing before God, how can you look back at your life and be proud of it? And what if you didn't have time to prepare? What if that was happening today? 9 out of 10 times the response I get is, I never looked at it that way. And I'll tell you, sometimes just beginning to look at their own lives in context of our destiny, that makes people change course. Sometimes, I've known real conversion stories of people who've really decided to live their lives meaningfully from henceforth. So I'm saying today, in light of our readings, that living our lives with our destiny in focus is a great Christian virtue. To help us today, of course, we have these readings, and particularly the gospel reading, which is the parable of the talents. And we are being encouraged to look at our lives from the context of eternity, from the context of a people who understands what our destiny is. But this is one heck of a parable. It's very difficult to deal with this parable. It's not the easiest parable to explain. So in my 3 points today, I want to reflect on this parable in some depth and perhaps find an interpretation that we can really apply to our lives. But first, my first point, let me talk about living with our destiny in focus. One of the starkest realities of life is the uncertainty of life, isn't it? How many people do you know who you thought would live through this day and actually they're not? Between last year and this year, how many people do you think have lost their lives and they never thought they would? And then the other stark reality of our lives is that we are limited. There are limitations to what we can do. Now, Jesus clearly suggests that the world as we know it is not eternal. It's not going to be there. And the early Christian church believed that Christ would come unexpectedly. This is true. Now, this is not just primitive thought. Even contemporary physicists will tell us that the world as we know it will end without warning. I don't know how many of you followed this experiment in Europe, where physicists discovered the Higgs boson, or what they call the God particle. They spent billions of dollars trying to field this experiment and find out what is it that holds the universe together. And finally, they discovered, and they call it the Higgs boson or God particle. Now, Stephen Hawking, I'm sure this name is familiar to you, He's a famous theoretical physicist. After they discovered the Higgs boson, he says that this very particle, which holds the universe together, which holds everything together, this very particle could one day be responsible for the destruction of the universe. And how does he suggest this is going to happen? He suggests that a quantum fluctuation could create what he calls a vacuum bubble. And this vacuum bubble could expand through space and wipe out the universe. Now really, he doesn't think it's going to happen immediately or for many years, but the possibility that this is an unexpected reality, Jesus said that a long time back. Now Hawking is an atheist. He's confirmed, he's a professing atheist. And I don't know what he thinks his destiny is. But that's not you and I. You and I believe in the death and resurrection of Christ. We believe that our destiny has changed because of the cross. And the truth is that no matter when the world ends or how it ends, we will stand before God one day. That we believe. And this means that we take very seriously Paul's advice in today's second reading. Let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. And so most of the people who I have these conversations with about life, once they begin to think about how they're living their lives in the context of eternity and standing in front of God one day and their destiny, it does work in helping them live better and meaningful lives today. So I'm suggesting today, think about your lives in the context of our destiny, of our eternal destiny, of your standing before God. What is it that you can be proud of? Can you be proud of your life as you're living it right now if you had to stand before God today? So that's the first point. Now I want to talk about this parable. And in my second part, I'm going to give you two interpretations and then a final interpretation. So the traditional interpretation of the parable of the talents is that God has given us gifts and our life project is to use these gifts to build God's kingdom. It's not a bad way to look at the parable, but there are some serious problems with this parable. If you look at it the traditional way, it seems like there are winners and losers. There are at least two people who won and one guy who did not win. It's a loser. If you take into account the complexity of life, not every person who does not multiply their talent does it because of laziness or fear. That's not the only reason why people don't use their talents. For example, I was hearing this whole radio program on how people develop schizophrenia or how they become bipolar. And it's frightening. It can happen to any of us. You don't have to plan to become a schizophrenic. And so, what do you do with a God who allows for some person who is very talented and then suddenly becomes maybe bipolar or schizophrenic? I understand that God will judge him accordingly, yet it just does not seem fair that these things can happen to people and then they lose their ability to live life meaningfully, right? And then there are other problems with this parable. Does God really judge us by how much we multiply our talents? Is God really as harsh as the parable suggests? Does God not make any allowances for our genuine human fears? So people who have a problem with this traditional interpretation will suggest another interpretation, the second interpretation. In this interpretation, the master is not God. In fact, the master is the villain, because he sows, he reaps where he does not sow. The servant who buries the poor, who buries his talent, is actually the hero in this interpretation. The master represents all those people who exploit the poor. The servant who buries the talent is the hero because he refuses to participate in the master's unjust economic system. And if you consider today the fact that the gap between you and I and the super rich in the world today has become worse in the last 100 years, if you keep that in mind, there is some truth to this interpretation of the parable. In other words, should I participate in a system that's not just? However, the downside of this parable, this interpretation, is that the kingdom of God is bigger than economics, right? It's not just about economics. So we take these interpretations for what it is. And now there is a third interpretation. And this is what made most sense to me, so I'm going to share that with you. Let me ask you a question. What matters to God? What is very important for God? In other words, what is God's primary concern as we know it in the Bible? What is it? I think the answer is people. Scripture tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only son. In other words, each one of us is God's treasure. No matter how talented you are, or maybe you are ill, or maybe you have serious disabilities, each one of us is God's treasure. And because we are precious and invaluable to God, God invites us to be awake and to be sober, and by the way we live our lives, bring more people to God. Okay, so here's the master, here is God, and for God, each one of us is precious. And what is God asking you to do? Be awake, be sober, and no matter what your ability is, can you bring one more person to God? So then, the parable is not about multiplying talents, but rather multiplying people for God. And that we bring people to God not as a trophy, like you are bringing a slave before a master, but rather we bring people to God by helping them realize their true value. So do you believe that you're valuable? You're not being asked to multiply talents. You're being asked, if you're valuable, then please help someone else discover their value. And when you help somebody else discover their value, you are truly bringing them to God. So, a good husband, a good wife, is not someone who has his or her own sense of worth, but a husband and a wife is meant to help recognize the value of each other and of the whole family. A good family values other families in God. And if you happen to be rich, your task is not to multiply your money, but to make sure that your generosity can help people realize how much God loves them. And if you do that, then you are bringing people to God. And so today, think about the talents, not really about multiplying your own abilities, but think about the talent as you. You are the talent. You are God's talent. And you're precious to God. And God is asking you to help every other person you meet recognize that they are precious. And when they realize they're precious, there is a chance that you can bring them before God. And the more people you can bring before God, the more the kingdom of God grows. That's the multiplication. The kingdom of God becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. Not because I have developed my talents, but because I've helped you recognize how much God loves you. So look at your life from the context of eternity. Look at your life from the context of your eternal destiny. And ask yourself, am I bringing people to God? And if you are, then you are doing what God is asking you to do. May the Eucharist help us today to live our lives in the context of our destiny. People of God said,
Amen.